Virgin birth. Uh-oh, there's a topic. It's a sticking point for many people. There are plenty of people who go to church who don't believe in virgin birth. How can a woman get preggo without purging the bees activity? We've had biology class, we know. This is unusual. Do we have to believe it? Is it a requirement? What would make us believe it? What would force us to kind of have this strong belief in virgin birth? A time machine going back to the first century. A medical examiner. A film crew. An investigative journalist team that went around and interviewed everybody in the town. You know, have you seen Mary with any strange people? If all the evidence pointed to virgin birth, if there was no doubt, if we had all the, you know, interviews and videotape and everything that we needed, if all of it left no doubt, then what? What would that mean? What would that change? What would happen? We would no longer be talking about faith. We would be talking about knowledge. But so what? How would that still change things? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, we say it every week. Right? Born of a virgin. Therefore, I must love God with all my heart, love my neighbor as myself. Oh, and I gotta go to church on Sunday. Oh, man. That's my time to sleep in. Come on. Not Sunday mornings. It's like, now that I know the science of it, the science of virgin birth, well, now I guess I'm a Christian. Is that right? That's not right. Is the scientific proof the driving force in our faith? Is that really what we're hung up about? Science were irrefutable, it wouldn't change our belief. It wouldn't change our relationship with God or our relationship with our neighbor at all. The science isn't the issue. It's the meaning of virgin birth that we have trouble with. What it says about God. It's what it says about Mary. It's what it says about Joseph. That's what matters. That's what we have trouble with. The story was filled with faith and trust and unconditional love and self-sacrifice. Mary finds out that she's with child, and she's old enough to know that this is not normal. But she's also old enough to know that people close to her are likely going to be skeptical. And they're going to reject her. We know from the passage that she would likely be put to shame, maybe even stoned. She listens to God's word and continues to be faithful despite how it looks. She's a perfect image of a model Christian. She's filled with the promises of God, and she bears the Savior to the world. This is why Mary is a great portrait symbol of the Christian church. And then there's Joseph, another ideal Christian. He listens to God's plan for salvation of the world, and he continues the mission of the church. Despite what others could say about him or think about him, he cares for and protects the people who bear the witness of God. Literally goes the extra mile to assure God's plan for his faithful people to be carried out. Oh, and what about God? God's act in this story is fantastic. There's God who breaks into our situation on God's own terms, in God's own timing. God communicates his word to us in a way that doesn't destroy our faith. But it also doesn't go unnoticed. It's a perfect balance between revelation and mystery. God creates the world in which we live to follow a certain pattern, and it's beautiful, and intricate, and detailed. And in a manger, in the most humblest of circumstances, God makes a statement about his desire to walk among us and meet us exactly where we are in every situation. The command was to make him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And from the moment of his arrival at his birth to his ascension in the resurrection, God continued to speak to us through extraordinary events. But each of those events were less about challenging the expected order of his creation and more about revealing an aspect of God's love for his people in his creation. In virgin birth, God says, I am with you by my own choice, not by yours. On my own terms, in my own timing. In resurrection, God says, you will be with me in eternity through this unbroken relationship that I have established from the foundation of the world. It's really a beautiful picture. So many people reject the idea of virgin birth. And if you're one of those people, relax, you know, don't get uptight, it's okay. You're not alone. Many people struggle with it. There are plenty of followers of Jesus Christ who can't get their head around virgin birth. You are not the first. But I'll ask another question. Does God enter our human situation and transform us into people that we would otherwise not be? Should I read that again? One more time. Does God enter our human situation and transform us into people that we would not otherwise be without them? Does God's Holy Spirit guide us and direct us? Is God active in our lives? Or are the deists right? The God who created this universe and everything in it. Does God enter our human situation and work from the inside out? You don't believe in virgin birth. You might still say yes to that. Maybe God does transform us spiritually. It might happen. But if you believe in virgin birth, I guarantee you believe that God can come into the human heart and transform us from the inside out. You believe in virgin birth. I guarantee that you believe that God can create something entirely new in us that wasn't there before. When we confess virgin birth, as we do every Sunday, we confess Emmanuel. We confess God is truly with us. God's real presence is in and among his people. So as we come down the aisle this morning to receive the real presence of Jesus Christ in the supper, let us remember this. As we partake the Holy Sacrament, that God has met us where we are. And God is in us and transforms us from the inside out.